the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, on a slightly alternative, as is usual, part one. We'll be looking
at alternative.
we'll be just taking a serious moment for a little while, if we can, to look at the serious news. We'll start off with that. It is kind of like the world's in turmoil, and we start off with Japan, which is in terrible states at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it is. They're gonna have to drown the nuclear installations now, which is really, really bad. And you know, people, all Brits, etc., being told to get out of the country. This is awful. You know, the whole world is actually like in a tinderbox at the moment, and anything could happen. This is.
Can I just correct you on one bit?
What
about drowning the nuclear rods?
Go on, then.
Because they're always drowned.
I think it means drown them all, because they started to dry out.
That's right. Because the trouble is, if there's not enough water in there, they overheat anyway. So you effectively need to drown them, because that's been the problem. The water levels have gone down because of steam, because of heat, and it's not been going back in again. But they have got the electricity almost working again, which will then start to get the pumps going. And if they can get the pumps going in time, that'll cool everything down, and it will start to get back to normal.
The tremendous difficulty and tragedy about Japan, I mean, is not only have you got between 10 to 20,000 people killed, but also, you know, they're never able to say that actually the disaster is finished and we can go and start cleaning up.
Because
this nuclear thing is hanging over everybody's heads. And of course, if it goes bad, the effects of it is going to be shocking.
Absolutely shocking. And we do apologise. If you think Mark's on the telephone this week, he's not. We've got a little problem with the studio in Paris. It's not behaving itself very well. But we'll stick with it because it'll be fine. Moving across. Now, one of the other interesting things is we've already seen in Japan the UK going out there and helping out. But apparently, there's a whole bunch of other things going on ready for reconstruction in Japan as well.
Oh, that's right. It's at the moment, though, that to me is we're looking ahead, it's forward planning, and things should it's exactly the way it should go. But it's the absolute devastation that's going on there now. And even Hollywood, I was quite moved. When I first saw it, I was a bit cynical about Hollywood turning out to help Japan. But then a lot of people are actually really pushing forward on highlighting and bringing people's thoughts to Japan. There's Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, all sorts of people are really forcing the issue, even some of the major film companies as well.
It needs to be done. It's got to be done.
Anyway, it does.
We do sort of wish everybody in Japan, some of the internet groups I'm a member of, there's a heck of a lot of people out there in Japan, so we wish you well as much as you can be. Keep the stiff upper lip going, chaps. That's all you can do. We've got lots of breaking news as we're on air talking about Libya. And I have to say, why am I not surprised, Colonel Gaddafi, you wimp? No, he is a wimp. He's a total...
He's a complete despot, yes. I'm not sure you could describe him as a wimp. Mind you, he does dye his hair black, doesn't he?
Well, no, the point...
I mean, the only thing about, you know, describing him as a wimp is almost as if he was saying, well, he ought to stand up for himself against Allied... am I saying Allied? I don't know. Against United Nations air power. And, of course, it's better that he backs down because, you know, fewer people are going to get killed. But
I think we have to say that he has backed down within the last hour.
That's exactly right. I think that they've now, his foreign minister announced that there was going to be an immediate ceasefire. And, of course, I mean, I think that what Eric's referring to is the fact that that's no coincidence coming right on the tail of the fact that...
that we're going to go to war on Libya.
Hope not, but there's going to be a no-fly zone. So, I mean, I can imagine it. We're putting out his air defence out of action anyway.
We're going to war on Libya. And what do we do next? Do we go to war on Saudi?
Well, listen, I hope we don't go to war in Libya. And, I mean, certainly we're not allowed to put any troops on the ground.
No.
But the thing that does concern me is, despite the fact that this very welcome announcement, you know, and, I mean, of course, one can be cynical about it, but despite this welcome announcement that they are going to make a ceasefire, I noticed that Sarkozy has come up within the last 10 minutes, because I've got an Al Jazeera feed that I'm just keeping an eye on here, and he's announced, well, it really makes no difference. There's still a danger on the ground, and it still looks as if he wants to go.
Excuse me, I rest my case. We're going to go to war on Libya.
Well, you say we. I mean, I'd like to hope that maybe the sort of Britain is going to put sort of be rather restraining on it.
We shouldn't be restraining. We're a tiny, tiny country in a very big world, and that has no money. Why do we think we can police every bit of war and problems across the world? It is ludicrous. Why do we want to go and spill more British blood in foreign lands that other people can sort out? We can't afford to go.
Interesting historical question for you, Lee.
Yes, dear.
In the old days of the Commonwealth, and you know the
42. I can't remember.
Well, you're a journalist. You know all the history things. That's what you do. So when there was, you know, the British Empire and all that, how many of these little spats went on?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Of course, it would. Got loads of them, there always were. And we go out and sort them because we don't care. This is colonialism at its worst, really, if you think about it. And what we did, and the other thing that really, really infuriates me about this is that the fight in Libya is about democracy and about the fact that for so long they have had imposed on them a despotic regime, right? And now Britain is going in, with the rest of the people as well, is going in to impose democracy on them.
Right. Yes,
well, I don't think they are trying to impose democracy.
No, no.
Impose democracy, but I mean, I think that they're trying to level the playing field a little bit, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. And well, of course, I mean, if we're lucky, we won't have to go in.
Well, exactly. And let's face it, who asked the UN for help in the first place?
Not me. Who asked the UN for help in the
ordinary, regular Libyans.
Yeah, but there's plenty of the UN who could go in and sort it out, who are not mired in wars all over the place, who aren't bankrupt, who aren't suffering. There are plenty of people. I'm not saying that nobody should go in and help out. I'm just saying, why has it got to be us again?
No, we won't be.
Because I think that we're the major powers. And I mean, we might be a very small country, but actually, I mean, we're hugely powerful.
Usually powerful anymore. We used to be hugely powerful. Now we're still
hugely powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're still hugely powerful, and we're well placed for it.
Well, I think what's actually confusing the issue a bit, Mark, and Lee, is that the perceived level of powers and type of powers that the UK had 30 years ago is dramatically different to the style of power and the influence of today. And by that I mean that whereas, you know, the old school used to still run around with a flipping nut to hammer to crack a nut open, in today's modern warfare, the British forces are way, way, way in advance of so many others that they can actually, with a very small number, achieve the same level that they would have done 30 years ago with probably 10 times the amount of people. It's called technology development, understanding your products, looking at boats as against ships, and those that are in the military will understand that. Equally, the drones that they now use, rather than, you know, risking the lives of airmen, the drones can go and do stuff. There's so much technology in it today which has been developed by the British military for the British military.
But we don't use it advisedly. It's wrong. Eric, I agree. You know my feelings towards British troops and things like that. They're exactly the same as yours. Mm. All I'm saying is that why are we going to war again? This is because it doesn't matter what happened in the Commonwealth. It doesn't matter what happened 30 years ago. This is because recent governments over, the last 15 years have felt and wanted to be pocket Americans.
Well, I have to say that exceptionally this time, I don't think that this is much to do with the Americans. And I think the Americans have come in and sort of finally given their approval. So they haven't held it back, but I don't think they're particularly involved. And I have to say, I don't think that the British are going to be particularly involved either.
No, I
think
don't.
This is mainly going to be a French exercise. And I think that Sarkozy will be very keen to get in because I think he needs a war in order to support his public image, because he's got a very difficult election next year. Because they've got their right-wing National Front, Marine Pen, who stands to make some very, very important gains against him, and I think that this will boost him. And I'm quite sure.
Let's hope that France does it.
Absolutely.
I think they will.
Okay, moving on to another serious piece of information from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, which has been issued for Bahrain this week, but includes other areas around the Middle East. If you're concerned about safety, please get in touch with your embassy, ambassador, chargé d'affaires, whatever, depending on where you happen to live, and do speak to them. If you've got concerns and you are British, that's the reason why they're there. They're there to look after you, not to sort of wipe your backside for you, but to effectively help you out in terms when you are in distress. So go and ask for the help there. And if they tell you to get on a plane, do as you're told. Don't whinge about it. Oh no, I've left my plant in the whatever. Just do as you're damn told, because the Foreign and Commonwealth Office are paying for this stuff. So just respect what they're telling you, because funnily enough, they know best.
Didn't I read yesterday that an aeroplane that went in, was it to rescue Brits, eventually left empty because nobody wanted to go?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but if you don't want to...
Let's hope that was the right decision for their sake.
Well, exactly. And I have to say, if you don't want to get on the plane, don't come back for a second bite of the cherry, boys. Because that is so totally and utterly wrong.
It is absolutely selfish.
Let's move on to another catastrophe. I nearly went in Slovak. For Brits who don't want to work. Marvellous.
Amazing.
But hang on! This is wonderful! This is marvellous!
I know! It's a great indictment of the Brits.
It's really, isn't it? Go on, Lee, your story.
Well, it just amazed me when I saw it. It's just unemployment has reached a 17-year high in Britain. We're now 2.5 million people out of work. And amazingly, that it's the young people who are the hardest hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tesco's, which is one of the biggest organisations in Britain, and it has stores everywhere, doesn't it? Superstores everywhere.
Which has now what they call the green range? I've forgotten the name of it now.
The green range?
Yeah, they've got an organic range now, which we exactly the same.
The organic range?
Well, it's, you know, where they're all, everything's grown naturally with a fair... things on coffee, fair chocolate, and all that sort of malarkey.
Well, they've got all that, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact is, they're going to Slovakia rather than Britain to look for candidates for jobs in British supermarkets, and they're bringing people in. They're offering to pay the mortgages for them, to bring the families across.
Yeah.
Really?
And... yes. Yeah.
Mortgages and everything. But are they making the same kind of offers to British people?
No,
what they are claiming is that British people are not interested in the job. Now, they say that their average store manager, and they're looking for people to manage stores over there, earn about £37,000 a year.
Right.
People in Slovakia come in
nice
over
here. Learner for you, then.
People who come across from Slovakia to £37,000 a year, they are going to feel like kings. But our people, apparently, according to Tesco, and if Tesco have got it wrong, then they should be ashamed of themselves, are saying that British people don't want the jobs. They are quite happy sitting at home watching telly, watching Jeremy Kyle. They don't want to earn £37,000 a year, so they've gone to Slovakia.
They're not all £37,000, because, I mean, they don't need that many managers. But, I mean, if they're really offering housing and mortgages and so forth to Slovakian people, I'm sorry, but I'm almost certain that if they were offering the same deal to British people, they'd be queuing up.
No, so, I think what Lee's saying, Mark, is they're doing the standard moving package. Yes. Where you would get a certain amount paid for a certain period of time, as with any sort of job. And if you happen to be in Stoke and the store was looking for people in Stoke, they wouldn't pay you any incentive to join a company because they're offering the wages. So I think this is a movement package as opposed to anything else. And I have to say, it's not the first time, although this is representative of Ireland, where the superstores there have come to Slovakia for people. And I have to say, some of the people that I've worked here, certainly on the administration side, have sort of come in with eyes down, going, "Hey, mate, I've been offered this job in Ireland, and I don't really want." And I'll say to them, "Go, by all means, go, enjoy it. You know, get the experience of it. I don't want you to leave, but by all means, go and get the experience from it." And Slovaks have really. And can I just correct everybody? It's not Slovakian; it's Slovak.
Did I say Slovakian?
No, it was Mark. It was Mark.
I do apologise everywhere right now for all the Slovak people.
The fact is that if what Mark is saying is right, and if what you're saying is right, and if what I'm saying is right, that the fact that there are 2.5 million people on the dole in Britain and Tesco's is leaving the country to find people, somebody's got it wrong somewhere. And the fact is that Britons are arrogant, insolent, lazy, awkward, fat-tempered people. Slovakia.
Hang on, you're describing the French.
No, you're describing Lee Banks.
But I don't work in Tesco's.
That's probably. Yeah, could you just imagine you working in Tesco's, couldn't you?
I wouldn't last a minute, man.
No. I think you're the only bloke I know that would go into the jobs office and try to redesign it. As you walked in the door,
and you'd be shelf stacking today, and you'd be in senior management by tomorrow.
I don't want to work in a store of 49¾.
Have you noticed how it's going up every 10 minutes at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move.
It's point here. I need to make it. It's about Slovakia, so it's only quick.
Go on.
You know that tortoise we talked about last week?
Yes.
That had the two heads from Slovakia?
Yes.
It's now revealed, this is the truth, that it's not only got two heads, its owner, Roman Grasek, has revealed that it's also got five legs.
Yeah.
He's got two heads and five legs and he's only a tortoise. What's he going to do?
Are you sure this is not from the what's that stupid news, so-called newspaper in England? The Sunday Sport?
No, it's the truth. I'm sharing. We brought it. You're supposed to update stories.
Oh, okay.
It had two legs, and now it's got five legs.
Radio blah blah. It says here, boring beep is a turn-off. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Local radio in Britain's right.
Yeah.
Is middle class, flaccid, focused on Phil Collins fans. Bias to do news about changes to bus timetables and lost cats. Well, I tell you what, our local station around here recently had a story about two rabbits that have been dumped in a cardboard box by the side of the road, and they will go insane if they get a story about a missing dog.
And?
Well, it's rubbish. That's what the BBC are presenting. That's what I'm saying.
Whoa. You are talking about a local radio station which is designed for sheep.
What, sheep?
Yes, because that's where Lee lives. It's sheep country.
I live in a sheep.
Right, yeah. He lives in sheep country. There's no commerce up there at all. Right, there's no nothing, Mark, so don't worry. It's just
in your gumboots?
Yeah.
It's no internet signal and nothing.
Really. So where Lee lives, they've got a BBC station that's, you know, programmed for sheep.
It's all programmed for brain dead.
Right.
People.
If you listen to other radio stations, of which some I've been working in association with this week in the UK, you will find that the style and the whole everything to do with the programme is absolutely different to what Lee's describing. But it has to be said, there is a call for many of the BBC local stations to be axed.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely a tragedy. I think that is terrible. But if they carry on doing this stuff, the boring BBC's a turn-off. If that's the way they carry on, then, yeah, take them off the air.
Well, that, but surely that's down to the, because each individual manager has a role. I don't know if they still call them editors. They used to be editors, and they can almost decide what goes on to their radio station.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the problem, because what they bring in are middle-class oiks who have no thoughts beyond. All they're doing is trying to satisfy the needs of the purple what's it brigade, and that you say they're farmer husbands with the big purple noses, big bellies and brogues. That's what they're trying to satisfy. And if these as managers, and I bet they're on a lot of dosh, how much you reckon they're on? A manager of a local radio station? Well, 80, 90 grand?
No, nowhere near. Nowhere near.
Much.
You'd be lucky to get half of that.
What? 45?
Same as the Tesco's manager. They're going to get more than Tesco's manager, aren't
they? Only just a little bit, yeah.
Well, how much does your local presenter earn on the BBC then? Presenter's getting 36.
a lot of the presenters work for like 30 quid for a whole day.
Well, I tell you what, maybe that's the problem that the BBC should look at. Maybe they should start paying people who are good.
But then you've got to have them there in the first place.
Well, it's like advertising, isn't it? Looking for a job.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I just think it's tragic that the BBC's local stations have gone down the road they have, which is, I'm not being rude when I say middle class. I just think the middle class are funny. I think they're neither here nor there. They're nothing. They are the hidden shallows of society. And that is what the BBC are pampering to, the hidden shallows of middle class Britain.
Really? So what happened with the Chris Moyle show?
Maybe people who aren't middle class don't listen to talk radio.
True.
Well, they will if there's nothing else.
Well, no, hang on, Mark.
So you say, take everything else off.
Mark, there is a problem. There's a problem with your argument. Most of the Chris Moyle show over the last 3 days has been actually talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or shouted now, in Chris Moyle's case.
Yeah. And when you think they got £2.5 million pounds in, and the route to getting that in was a text message that was valued at £1. So it's £2.5 million texts. Now, I'm pretty sure that some people will have texted two or three times, but that's still a tremendous level of interaction with a radio show.
Of course it is.
And at the age group that show appeals to, tells me that speech radio for younger people can be an absolute turn-on.
Well, I tell you, I really hope that's right, because I think it's just such a good medium in that way. And that's not to knock music radio by any means at all.
No,
but, not at all. It's something that, you know, to introduce new ideas and to get you in contact with the community, you know, I think that really is great. And I really hope that people, that young people start listening to that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think the trouble is that what tends to happen in some of the BBC local stations is that people who are too old to do anything else get shipped out there because no one's going to notice. But what you also see now are some younger brains into some stations, and I have to say, they present and produce incredibly interesting programming. Incredibly interesting.
I think you're right. I think it is a regional thing, and in perhaps in big cities. I'll tell you, yeah, WM in Birmingham is not a bad station and has some really good, talented presenters.
Yes.
Radio Manchester the same.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those two, because I used to work on both of them.
No, you did. But the problem is, the general hoi polloi of stations, right, if they continue to fill it with Phil Collins and Daniel O'Donnell, then they're going to lose everybody. And that's what I'm going right back to the beginning, is exactly what I was saying about Red Nose Day. It's a fine thing, a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, and should be lauded, but don't serve such BBC dross. Why does the BBC believe so much in dross?
It's not. It's just made £2.5 million. It's in tune with the listener and the viewer. You're
people
out of tune.
People buy dross from everywhere. That's everything you buy now's dross.
What it means is you're out of tune with the rest of society.
I am not out of tune. I sing like Bob Dylan.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's finish on a silly, boys and girls. Snake dies of silicon poisoning.
Oh, no, isn't that terrible, man?
Cleopatra gets her own back, is it?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, don't you? This poor snake. They've got a model. I'm scrolling right down the list while I'm doing this, so I'm busking it at the moment. It's under Magnus Corner, right? Yeah. This is a model right there, and she's doing a Garden of Eden sort of shoot, and with a DJ of some, I think it's Orrit Fox, she was called. Orrit Fox, that's it, yeah. And she held the snake to her bosom to make it look like it was biting her. And it did! It bit her on the lady's pointy bit. And it died. It got silicone poison and died. And amazing. It's not funny, I'm not laughing.
So did she have to have a booby deflated then?
Well, no, I think that was it. She was flying around for like half an hour. Like that. And I think the snake just got air sickness and died in reality.
Quite an amazing story, really.
It is actually. But that's a whole new, brings a whole new dimension to the safety angle of booby bits, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it certainly does. I mean, I think that, you know, if your consort happens to be a lady with silicone breast enhancements, I think you have to be very careful how you treat her.
Well, yes.
Well, don't get bites in them.
No. That's right. I didn't want to say that.
Right. OK, boys and girls, coming up next week, we have got a very special consumer programme for you with a whole bunch of top tips, some of the stuff that connects into Consumer Action Group with Mark. We'll have a few other ones, and I'll try and revise some of the Media Zoo bits for you to give you some sensible top tips on how to get hold of things, and I said that very carefully. So that'll be next week. It's going to be a bit of a one-off special, so that everyone's going to get involved. We're all going to pick our own little subjects and try and bring you in this sort of, where we're having to look after the pennies, a kind of postcard from Pop Rad special. We'll look at the banking sides, the tech sides, the consumer awareness sides, really. We'll do our own little bits and see what we can come up with. So that'll be a special next week. We wish to congratulate everybody on Comic Relief and Colin Smith, who's clearly got the ump with us. Colin. And we'll see you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody. I'm going to sneeze.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.